Good evening. I want to thank the elders, first of all, for the opportunity. I want to thank the congregation from my wife and I. You guys being great. You guys are very hospitable, and we appreciate that. How many of us are still looking for an identity? As we are born and we grow and we get to that age of, I don't know, teenagers, perhaps 20s, and we get to that point where we're trying to express ourselves. We're trying to make an image out of ourselves. I was reading on the news the other day, and I read about this cute little boy who started on YouTube, singing, making music, and then he made it big, and now that he's grown a little, he decided to throw eggs at his neighbor's house. I know who you guys are, you know, I'm talking about. And then he decided to drag race drunk, or he was drunk apparently. And then I think just last week he decided to assault his limo driver or something like that. And then we go to this little girl who had a show called Hannah Montana. This little cute girl, you know, we all thought that she was an ideal. She was a model, a role model. And all of a sudden she turns into this wild person. And so I see parents angry about how these two kids turn out. But then I see a lot of young people supporting the way they are. They say, well, they're just trying to express themselves. They're just trying to make an image out of themselves. They think that by doing these things, they think by doing things like this are supposed to be acceptable to everyone else. And we have youngsters following these examples, supporting this kind of behavior. There is an example that we should follow. The best example ever, that if you follow him, defend him, express yourself like he did, you'll be better off in this life than these two people that I just talked about. And that person is Jesus. Jesus is an example to youth. Young men and young women, the words of Christ to you are, follow me. Follow my example. Is this the aim and purpose of your life? Is it your highest ambition? Will you make this the dominant purpose of your efforts? The dominant purpose of your efforts. It is the only road to success. By the way, I'm Andres Pong Jr. My dad is sitting in the back. I want to make that point because when some of you met me, you thought I was him. You thought I was the preacher on High School Road. But I'm not. But this is the only road to success. Following Jesus' example. We read in Luke 2:39 through 52. It says, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they turned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom and grace, and the grace of God was on him. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why you treat us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then they went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Well, the first thing that we can take out of these verses is that Jesus set an example of following a pure lifestyle. First, we can see in Luke, if we read in Luke, chapter 2, verse 6 to 7, it says, "While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn and a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men." Well, what we can take out of this first is that he was born. You were born, I was born, all of us were born at some point. And then he grew in stature. We grow, as we're growing, we grow in stature. As we are growing, we also become stronger, we're getting strength. Just a regular boy, just like any other boy, just like any other being. But I want us to notice this. I gotta get this done. There we go. He was filled and grew in wisdom. You know, we know the birthdays of our favorite celebrities. We know the stats of our favorite sports, our favorite athletes. We know everything there is to know about people that we like. We know what there is to know about accounting. We know what there is to know about architecture. What about the wisdom? What about the righteousness? Where do we get that from? Youngsters, I want to tell you that you only get that from the Bible. It means that sometimes that we're probably going to have to put away, we're going to have to put down Harry Potter books, Hunger Games, whatever. And we're going to have to pick our Bibles and read them. Fill ourselves with that knowledge. That's what Jesus did. That's why he grew in wisdom. The world, the Word of God is the blueprint he has given us to follow. If we want to construct a life that gives glory to him and brings satisfaction and blessing to us, if you ever built a home, you wouldn't want to hire just somebody. You want somebody that has some plan to build it. And yet there are many Christians that construct their lives in that fashion. They don't want to follow the blueprints. They just want to follow their spirit. This is the problem that we're seeing with youngsters nowadays. They think that it's about themselves. They don't want to follow God's blueprint. Spiritual growth takes time, but we must actively engage in the process. The fact that Jesus was growing in wisdom and still increasing more in wisdom shows that it is a lifelong process, but it's not automatic. Jesus hungered and thirsted after such wisdom, so much that he set aside some of the normal things that a child will do just to follow his father's will. So spiritual growth should be focused in two directions. One, toward God. And the other one, towards man. Jesus grew in favor with God and man. So those are the things that we're going to have to do sometimes. If we want to grow in wisdom of God, if we want to know that righteousness, we have to be here. We have to read the scripture. We have to ask questions so we can grow more and more. Can our lifestyle be more godly? Can it be more godly? I think it can. Because he had it. And that's what we are trying to follow. Another thing that we can get from Jesus, he was an example of obedience to parents. Now, how hard is it to obey your parents? Yeah, it's very hard. I wasn't perfect all the time. It can be very difficult, you know, to obey your parents, but they ultimately have the authority over you. Learning to obey your parents will cement a positive and a long-lasting relationship. In Luke 2:51, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient. Just that very phrase there, he was obedient to them. It shows us first that he was in subjection to his parents. Respect what your parents says. Respect what they said. Respect what they order you to do. It also tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 1 and 2, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Another thing that you need to understand is that obeying your parents, it's a command. You young ones need the warnings about potential dangers, and your parents have the responsibility to give them to you. Listen to them. You may recall being told, don't touch the stove, it's hot. Stay away from the water. It's dangerous. Look both ways before you cross the street. Don't open the door before we get to our destination, or you're going to roll out of the car. I actually did that. To be obedient to your parents is righteous, it is right, and it is proper. This is something that Jesus did, and I think it should be our first priority. So can we be more obedient to our parents? Can we be more obedient to our parents? How about you raise your hand? Those who think that are young still. Yeah? Well, I think we can. Because he was. He was obedient to his parents. Another thing we can get from Jesus is, Jesus was an example of the faithful worship of God. And we see that in Luke 2:49. Why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? Why are you inviting me to this party? Why are you inviting me to this ball game? Don't you know I have to be at church that Sunday? Can we say that? Can we do that? Jesus worshiped God from the beginning of his life. I'm going to tell you something. The faster or the earlier we learn this, the better off we're going to be. We got to put this as the first priority. The habit of worship is developed in youth. 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Be a godly example. Be a godly example to your surroundings. Being faithful to Jesus Christ is the most difficult thing that somebody can try to do. We can be faithful to our work. We can be faithful to serving others or anything else. Just don't ask us to be faithful to Jesus Christ. Many Christians become very impatient when we talk about faithfulness to Jesus. Our Lord is dethroned more deliberately by Christians' workers than by the world. We treat God as if he were a machine designed only to bless us, and we think of Jesus as just another one of the workers sometimes. The goal of faithfulness is not that we will do work for God, but that he will be free to do his work through us. Be a godly example. That's what 1 Timothy 4:12 is saying. God calls us to His service and places tremendous responsibilities on us. He expects no complaining in our part and offers no explanation on His part. God wants us to use us as He used His own Son. Jesus was a godly example. Follow His example is the ultimate. Jesus is the ultimate youth leader. Not Justin Bieber, not Miley Cyrus. I don't know who else you listen to or you follow to. But Jesus is our ultimate example to follow. So can we show a more godly example? Can we show a more godly example? I think we can. You know why? Because He did. Another thing that we can get from Jesus' life is that He saw heavenly things first. In Luke 2:46, it says, after 3 days they found Him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard Him was amazed at His understanding and His answers. Jesus wanted what His Father wanted first. It means that sometimes, you know what, we're going to have to drop everything else that we're doing and do what God wants us to do first. Why do you think this is important, children, youngsters? In Matthew 26:39-49, it says, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as your will." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done." Always the will of God was first. But you know why it's important for us to do this now? Because doing God's will, putting God as our first priority, it's going to help us to be ready for the trials to come in our life. Jesus was ready for what was going to come to Him because He learned that since He was young. It was always about His Father's will. Yes, disappointment, sadness, pain, and loneliness come to all of us. And then we ask, why must this terrible thing happen to me? How can a loving God permit this tragedy? Is He dead? Why is He called good and merciful and long-suffering while everyday men and women are crushed by agonies, almost beyond endurance? Everyone asks these things. Those who hate God as well as Christians who are bewildered and confused by disappointments. When sorrow comes, it is natural for human beings to question, doubt, and blame. Yet God never promised us a trouble-free life. Jesus didn't have it. He went through it. He knows that temporary suffering in this life, it is necessary to prepare us for the life to come. We have to prepare ourselves, to train ourselves. Can we follow God's will first? Can His will be done first? I think it can. Because He did. Jesus did. Then we move on. Another of the things that we can take from this is that Jesus made a conscious decision not to sin. 1 Peter 2:21 and verse 22, it says, "To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. He committed not sin, and not deceit was found in His mouth." Jesus did not sin. You know, each month over 1 million bracelets are being sold with the letters WWJD. which stands for what will Jesus do? So young people report that wearing the bracelet makes them stop and think so that they do not rent an R-rated movie or engage in sinful situations. As long as you answer the question based on the scripture rather than your own ideas, it's a good question to ask yourself often, what will Jesus do? What will you do when you find yourself in situations like this? When you find yourself in sinful situations, what will you do? He made this decision in youth. We can make it too. You know why? Because we have to follow his example in deciding not to sin. In 2 Timothy 2:22, it says, "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." In 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you cannot bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." There's always a way out. We don't have to commit to it. There's always a way out. And yet we often fall into sin. Jesus Christ is the only one ever to live a sinless, perfect life. First and foremost, we must come to know him as our Savior. But in addition to that, he is our primary example for godly living. He lived in perfect dependence on the Father, always obedient to his will. This was true not only after he began his public ministry, but also from his youth up. Early training prepared Jesus through his life. We can make that choice. We can say no. We can flee. We can say no to our friends. We can say no to our boyfriend, girlfriend. We can say no to that movie. We can say no to drinking. Can we say no to sin? I think we can. He did. I think, Ecclesiastes 11:9. What a better way to live our lives following the example of Jesus, knowing that our judgment will be righteous, knowing that we have that confidence because we followed his example. And so, tonight, what did Jesus do? Well, first we saw that he followed a pure lifestyle. He was obedient to his parents. He worshiped God faithfully. He did God's will first. And he did not sin. Can I do that? Will I do what Jesus did? If he did, I think we can. The theme for the lessons this year is being God-filled. And I think if you're not a Christian, you can start filling yourself with God by being baptized and follow his example. The truth is not Jesus was not only an example to young people. It's an example to all of us. So you can start to fill yourself with God. Maybe you left halfway empty. You can always come back to fill yourself to the top. We can pray for you if you need forgiveness. Would you listen to this invitation? Would you think about it as we stand and we sing?